Hallmark card will best express your perfect taste, your thoughtfulness. Good evening. This is your Hallmark host, Cy Harris. From the heart of New York's glittering Broadway, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards present Joseph Discovers America, starring Paul Lucas. Tonight you're going to meet a remarkable young man. His story is not only great, it's very human, and it happens to be true. For our leading role, we feel we are fortunate to be able to bring back one of your favorite stars on this Hallmark program, distinguished for his starring roles on both stage and screen. Here he is, my good friend, Paul Lucas. Paul, we're very happy to have you with us again on our Hallmark program.
I'm very glad to be back. You have a gift for friendliness on this show, and you made my last visit very pleasant.
It's good to have you remember us that way, Paul.
Well, it's always easy to remember the things you like.
And, by the way, do you remember how to identify a Hallmark card?
Of course I learned that when I was on the show before. You just turn the card over and look on the back for those three words. A Hallmark card.
You're so right, Paul. Those three little words tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. And now we're all anxious to meet that remarkable young gentleman from the continent, Joseph Morney. Tonight, the makers of Hallmark greeting cards bring us a wonderful story based on fact from the Reader's Digest radio edition, Joseph Discovers America, starring Paul Lucas. Authorities were very busy that morning. An ocean liner had just dropped anchor off Ellis Island, and among the passengers was a dashing young man with formal white gloves and an elegantly waxed mustache. His aristocratic manner was a bit extravagant for a steerage passenger, but the immigration inspector hardly seemed to notice it. After all, the years was 1906, and he had seen poor nobility before.
Name, please. Joseph Nicholas Lajos Morney, the fifth. Joseph Morney.
No. Joseph Morney with an F. J-O-S-E-F.
Oh, I see. Joseph Morney.
Now you have it.
Nationality?
Hungarian.
Occupation?
I beg your pardon.
What is your occupation, Mr. Morney?
Why, whatever pleases me is my occupation. Hunting, riding, dueling. I also play the cello.
What do you do for a living?
Living. You do not understand. I am a Hungarian gentleman. I do not work for a living.
Oh, you have a private income?
Well, just now, my estate in the process of, liquidation? Yeah, yes. The bankers are selling it for me.
Oh.
Stupid fellows, these bankers. Imagine selling an estate like mine just because I cannot pay the mortgage. They have no regard for a man of my station.
You mean you have no resources at all?
If you please, Inspector, must we discuss such personal matters? To me, money is a distasteful subject.
Yeah, well, I'm very sorry, Mr. Morney, but I must ask you these questions because you have no visible means of support. Now, how do you propose to live in this country?
America is rich. No? There's plenty of money here for everybody. That is what my uncle in Pittsburgh says. He owns a steel mill.
Owns one?
Owns, manages, what difference does it make? Everybody is rich in America.
Well,
here, I will show you his letter. You see what it says? He's a machine operator.
Oh, that's a lot different from owning a mill.
Now, my good man, you do not think my uncle would operate the machine himself, do you? He is a Hungarian gentleman.
Yeah, well, if he's willing to take care of you, I suppose it's all right to let your application go through, but just between you and me, Joseph.
Inspector with an F.
Yeah, all right. Have it your way. Joseph. Only you've got a lot to learn about this country of ours.
Now, what do you mean?
You'll find out. When you get to Pittsburgh, you're going to discover America.
Wonderful country you have here, conductor. Wonderful factories, bridges, railroads. Today I board the train in New York, and tomorrow I am with my uncle in Pittsburgh.
Joseph. This is my house, over here.
This one? You live in one of these cottages, Uncle William?
That's right. We all live here. Men from the mill, I mean.
You are joking. There are no grounds here. Where can you keep your horses?
I don't have any horses, Joseph. I use the streetcar when I go into town.
Now, I know you are joking. These are the servants' quarters.
No, Joseph. I don't have any servants.
Oh. Oh, I see what has happened. You have lost your steel mill, Uncle William. They have taken away your fortune.
No, my boy. I still have my fortune.
Where?
Right here. In these two hands. That's everybody's fortune in America. Two hands and an opportunity to use them.
Good heavens, Uncle William. What have you done to them? They have calluses all over.
Of course they have calluses. You can't make steel with a powder puff.
You make steel? Make it with your hands?
I help make it, Joseph. My hands operate a rolling mill.
No, that's impossible. But where is your pride?
My pride is in the steel I make. Steel that goes into machines and railroads and all the marvelous things that make this land a land of plenty.
Plenty of what? What good is all this wealth if you cannot have it?
I have as much as I need. Those who want more can make more.
Make. Is that a way to judge a man's value by what he makes? Are they that such savages in this country that they do not know how to treat people of noble birth?
No, they are not savages, Joseph. America has no place for noblemen.
So this is the wonderful land you invited me to live in. The land of opportunity. Opportunity. For a man in overalls.
Try it, Joseph, just for a while. You like it here, if you really try it.
No, thank you. I will go back to Hungary.
But you have no money.
Well, I will borrow it.
From whom?
Oh, will you stop asking me stupid questions? I will borrow it on my name.
Joseph, you know you can't borrow any money. Please, let me get you a job at the mill. Try it for a while. You can save up enough money to go home if you want to.
But how can I work in a mill?
Superintendent will find something for you to do. I'll speak to him the first thing in the morning. What do you say, my boy?
What can I say? There's nothing else for me to do.
Why, sure, I'll put your nephew to work, Morning. Send him right down to the foreman. We'll start him off as a puddler.
Now, this is the way you stand, Morning. Right here at the open hearth. Your job is to stir the molten iron with this big bar, or rabble, as we call it. As soon as the temperature goes up above this red line...
Joseph Nicholas Dwyosh Morning. Steel puddler.
How you doing, Morning? Working up a good appetite for lunch?
What business it is of yours?
Hey, now, that's no way to talk to a fellow puddler. I'm a Hungarian, too.
Now, if you please, my friend, I do not associate with men of lower birth.
Thank heaven for that.
I've never been so hungry in all my life. Where is the lunchroom foreman?
Oh, didn't you bring a box? Your uncle should have told you there's no way to get a meal down here unless you bring a lunchbox.
You mean I cannot buy anything? Not even a cup of coffee?
Not on this side. The cafeteria is way up near the east gate.
Well, it doesn't matter. I can wait until dinner time.
It's a long stretch, Morning. I'll see if I get some of the boys to chip in.
No, thank you. I would rather wait than ask for food from a stranger. I do not care to eat just now anyway.
Ah, don't be a sap. The boys will kick in.
What's the matter, Danny? Won't his Royal Highness eat with us?
Shut up, wise guy. Sure you won't change your mind, Morning?
No, thank you. But I would like a glass of water, if you would be kind enough to direct me.
Sure, there's a sink right over there in the anteroom. Just go through that door.
Thank you.
Want me to come with you?
No, thank you, I will find it.
That's it, right in there.
Many thanks. Oh, excuse me.
What for?
Well, I thought I was alone. I came in for a drink of water.
Well, help yourself. I'm just eating my lunch.
Oh.
I eat here every day with my father. I guess he's a little late getting over from the forge.
You work here?
Oh, no. I just get sort of lonesome being around the house all day, so I come down and eat with my father.
Oh, I see.
Well, if you want a drink, the faucet's right over there. Or would you rather have a cup of coffee?
No, thank you, thank you.
Plenty of it. Always bring an extra cup or two.
No, I wouldn't think of it, thank you.
You're new here, aren't you?
Oh, yes, I just started this morning.
I didn't think I'd seen you around before. You don't look like a steel worker.
I do not feel like one either.
Tired?
Exhausted. I'm not used to heavy work.
Well, sit down. Give your feet a rest. Here, have a cup of coffee.
Well, it smells awfully good.
It is good. Made it myself.
If you insist.
Sure, I insist. You ought to taste one of these sandwiches, too.
Oh, no, thank you. No, I'm not that hungry, no.
How hungry are you?
My dear young lady, you are a charming hostess, but I cannot accept your hospitality. Thank you.
Why not?
Well, I'm afraid you would not understand. You see, I'm Joseph Morney.
Who?
Joseph Morney, the second.
That's funny. I didn't even know there was a first.
Well, in this country, people do not have the slightest understanding of nobility.
But I'm not from this country. I was born in Poland.
Well, Poland. That is nice. Hunting in Poland.
I wouldn't know. I came over when I was six.
And, of course, you are of Polish nobility, aren't you?
I don't think so. My father says it isn't worth a nickel anyway.
Oh, that's a nonsense. I can tell you are of high birth just by looking at you.
Well, in that case, will you have a sandwich?
Well, in that case, my dear, I believe I will.
This is Cy Harris again. In a moment, we'll present the second act of tonight's story from the pages of the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine, presented by the makers of Hallmark cards, America's favorite greeting card. Right now, I'd like to tell you about a new kind of dolls that children are collecting. Greeting cards of a most unusual kind. Hallmark dolls. The imagination with which these dolls were designed, their beauty of coloring and perfection of detail, would tell you even before you look on the back that they were created by the makers of Hallmark cards. There are 16 dolls in the complete set. The Queen of Hearts, Cinderella, Little Boy Blue, My Pretty Maid, Little Bobby Shafto. 16 enchanting dolls costumed in glowing colors of red and blue and gold, with feather plumes in their hats and a wonderful story about each one told inside in rhyme. Children love to collect Hallmark dolls, read the stories over and over again, act them out, compare collections. They say, "How many Hallmark dolls have you?" "Oh, I have four. My grandfather says he's going to give me a whole set of Hallmark dolls for my birthday, 16 of them." Yes, children compare collections. And if you want to feel like a fairy godmother or a fairy godfather, give 4 or 8 or 16 Hallmark dolls. Or send a doll a week or a doll a month to some little friend you'd like to have remember you joyously and often. They cost only 25 cents apiece, and they're as easy to mail as letters. How else could you buy such enchantment for a quarter? Stop in at the store where you buy Hallmark cards and see what dazzling presents they make for children. Hallmark dolls straight from fairyland. And now our program continues with Act Two of tonight's story, Joseph Discovers America, starring Paul Dukas. Honey had just two friends in America, his Uncle William and Anna, the little Polish girl who gave him a sandwich. As far as his work was concerned, he continued the hot, back-breaking job they gave him at the mill, but he always looked down on his fellow workers, and he never stopped hating America.
It is humiliating, I tell you. Humiliating. A man of my station should not be allowed to do this work. Look at my hands. They are like a peasant.
Yeah, we know all about it.
Well, what do you know, you pighead?
What
do you know of my heart and soul and the blood that runs in my veins? You were made like an ox to eat and sleep like one.
Cut it out.
I'm a thoroughbred, filtered through centuries of careful breeding, sharpened to a fine point of spirit and intellect. I was born to leadership. And what have they put me? Where? With the rabble.
Will you stop griping and go to work?
Work? Only in a backward country like America would they overlook my qualifications.
Then why don't you get out of here? Go on back where you come from if you don't like America.
I will. And if I had the money, I would not stay another minute.
Well, you haven't got the money, so get to work. I'll have you kicked off the job.
Now, then, I really should be the foreman. I am the natural man of authority around here.
Come on.
But don't you see how degrading it is for me to be working on equal terms with Rudy here? My father was a member of the court, and his father was a sewer cleaner.
Take that back, you lousy bum.
How dare you talk to me in this manner?
Take it back, I say.
Wait a minute. No fights on the job.
I can't help it, Denman. I've had enough of this guy.
And I've had enough from you. Imagine such insolence from the son of a sewer cleaner.
Get your mitts up, Morty. Come on, get him up and fight like a man.
Fight with my hands? Now, that shows what breeding you have had, you bull. I challenge you to a duel.
Oh, yeah? This is the only kind of a duel I understand.
Oh!
Come on.
I would cut you to ribbons if I had a saber in my hand.
Yeah?
Oh, good!
All right. That's enough, Rudy.
Say it's enough. Lock him in the ante room, gentlemen. He'll be out for the rest of the morning.
Happened to you?
Oh, my jaw. He must have jumped on it while I was down.
Why did you fight, Joseph?
That pig, Rudy, he made insulting remarks to me.
Why did he do it?
Because I made insulting remarks to him. Oh, my jaw.
Poor darling. You can't fight with Rudy. He's much too big for you.
No one is too big when you can fight with swords. But they do not understand that in America. It is such a backward country, Anna.
It is not backward. You're the one who's backward. Everything you do is backward.
How can you say that when I'm doing the same kind of work as a man like Rudy? Do you realize that I am still a steel puddler after 6 months here?
Well, if you're so much better than the men you work with, you have a chance to prove it. They'll pay you what you're worth.
You mean I'm not worth much?
Well, are you, Joseph? Tell the truth. How much are you worth to this company with your arrogant attitude, with your constant complaints? You think you're a gentleman because your grandfather was a baron. But a real gentleman has humility. There's a big difference.
Anna, I should hate you for what you are saying to me. But I realize that you mean it for my own good. And what's more, you're very sweet and very young.
You still haven't answered my question. How much are you worth to this company?
Oh, confound it. Do I have to prove to you what I am worth? Do you think I could not ride to the proper station if I were put to the test?
I don't know, Joseph.
But the hard part is that I have to treat them as equals. Much as I detest it, I can work, Anna, and hard. But only to show these peasants what a nobleman can do.
Morty, what's gotten into you lately? You're working like a beaver.
Why not, Mr. Denman? I have ambitions. Before I leave this heart, I'll be the best beer puddler in America.
I can't understand, boss. He's like a new man. He eats with us, calls us by our first names, and according to the production sheet, he's the best man in the shop.
Now, you see, Mr. Thurmark, if there were only some way to have the heart itself oscillate, the rubber method could be eliminated altogether and production increased many times over.
Mm-hmm. The heart can be oscillated, Morty, with one of these new rotary furnaces. And just as soon as we get one installed, you'll be the man to operate it.
Anna. Are you home, Anna?
It's you, Joseph. I haven't seen you in so long, I thought you'd almost forgotten me.
Well, I've been very busy, Anna, down at the mill. And in the library, too, learning about steel. You know, I helped them install the new furnace.
Yes, Father told me you got a promotion. You must be very proud.
Well, it was only a little raise, but I got a big thrill out of it. For the first time in my life, I found out what it means to win respect without being born to it.
But you don't care about respect, not from people who were beneath you.
I didn't care, Anna. But I do now. Now that I know these people, they have a nobility of their own. Only I couldn't see it.
Nobility?
Oh, call it what you like. They have a sense of honor. Just the other day, Rudy was teaching me how to defend myself with my fist. Because he knew that I was at a disadvantage. And he wanted me to be his equal. Now, that's a gentleman, Anna. A real gentleman.
You're becoming an American, Joseph. Against your will.
Not against my will. Not anymore. 6 months ago, when I decided to work hard and prove that I was worth. I wanted to get ahead just to show the other people. But now I want to show myself.
You have changed, Joseph. Toward almost everything.
Everything except you. Anna, do you know why I've come here tonight?
See me, I hope.
To tell you some wonderful news.
What is it, darling?
Well, Mr. Thurmark is going to make me a foreman at the mill.
Oh, I'm so happy for you, Joseph.
I'm happy for both of us, Anna. Don't you see what this means? A foreman can afford to have a house of his own and a family inside it.
Oh, darling, are you proposing to me?
Well, if I'm not, you'd better show me how. Oh, I love you so. And as soon as the new job comes through, I want you to be my wife.
Morning.
Yes?
My name is Baldwin, Morning. I'm the new foreman.
New foreman?
There must be some mistake.
No mistake. I just took over this morning.
But Mr. Thurmark...
I know. You probably deserve this job, and as soon as I leave, you can have it. But I happen to have certain connections, so I've got first right.
I see.
I'm learning this business from the ground up, Morning. But I'm no dope about a steel mill, so don't try to put anything over on me.
Yes, sir.
Well, now that we've got that straight, let's get down to business. How many men know how to operate that new rotary furnace, Morning?
Why, I am the only one, Mr. Baldwin.
Then I'm taking you off it right away.
But what for?
Don't argue with me, please. There'll be nothing but rotary furnaces around here someday, and I want the other men to learn how to use them.
Yes, sir.
That means you'll be going back to your old job, stirring with a rabble.
Yes, sir.
Don't look at me that way, Morning. This is a business, and I have to do my job.
He had everything boiled up, Mr. Thurmark. I know it sounds bad coming from me, but I wouldn't talk it when for the good of the company. For 6 weeks now, that little snob has been running everything into the ground.
So you don't like the way I've been running things, huh, Morning? Well, let me tell you something. Anybody who doesn't approve of the job I'm doing can get right out. Only I'm not giving you that privilege. You're fired.
I don't know, Anna. It seems to me I've made a great mistake, putting such faith in the way things are done in America.
Don't be so upset about it, darling. You'll get another job.
Oh, it isn't that. I could have gone to work 3 days ago. But I just can't see the point of it. This is a democratic country where people are paid according to their worth. And yet there is a favoritism here.
Please, Joseph, you can't judge the whole country by what happened at the mill. You've come to expect perfection of America.
No, I've come to expect justice. What can a poor man do?
One man can't do anything, I suppose. But together with all his friends, there isn't anything he can't do.
Anna, Joseph, have you heard the news?
What news?
You have your job back, Joseph. Only it's a new job. You're the new foreman.
What are you saying?
That Baldwin boy has been fired, and you're to take his place. It's just a boy from the company manager.
I don't understand. How could the Baldwin boy be fired?
Well, when Joseph was dismissed, a delegation of men from his division appealed to the management. They risked their job to get him a fair deal. Well, the result is Baldwin is out, and Joseph is the new foreman.
I can't believe it. Those men, they did this for me?
For you, my boy.
But I've never done anything for them.
They're your friends, Joseph. If you were in their shoes, you'd have done the same thing.
Well, then there is something a man can do. Oh, Anna, you've said it to me so many times.
Oh, darling, don't be sad. We should be happy. Don't you remember what you told me? As soon as you get the new job, we can be married.
But I've got the new job. We'll be married tomorrow.
And I'll become Mrs. Joseph Morning the Fifth?
No, darling, no. Just Joseph Morning the First.
Thanks, Paul, thanks. Ladies and gentlemen, Paul Lucas will be back in just a moment. But first, I'd like to ask you a question. When you buy a greeting card, do you buy it casually or do you choose it with care? Every greeting card you send represents you. So it's a question of how you want to be represented to your friends. When you buy a Hallmark card, however small, however simple, you have the wonderful assurance that it's right in every way. You are assured of its distinction by those three little words on the back of the card, a Hallmark card. Those three little words tell your friends you cared enough to send the very best. So when you buy a greeting card, look first for a store that carries Hallmark cards. Only fine stores are selected to carry Hallmark cards. They are selected, carefully selected, for the expert and friendly service they can give you. And now, once again, here's the star of tonight's show, Paul Lucas. Paul, that was a moving performance.
Well, it was a wonderful story, Si. Say, have you another true one for next week?
Yes, we have, Paul. A highly dramatic story about a western ranch and what happened when someone listened in on a party line.
That sounds interesting.
It's a very unusual story, Paul, and our star will be lovely and talented Susan Peters.
Oh, now, that's all you need to say. I'm looking forward to next week's program.
We're looking forward to it, too, Paul. We hope all our friends will be with us next Thursday night at the same time for the gripping story, Eavesdroppers in Eden, starring Susan Peters, and brought to you by the makers of Hallmark greeting cards. Paul Lucas will soon be seen in the RKO picture Berlin Express. In tonight's story, Mr. Lucas was supported by Barbara Weeks in the role of Anna. Joseph Discovers America was dramatized by Robert Sloan and was based on the true story by Gertrude Schweitzer entitled Chronicle of Americanization 11, as it appeared in the Reader's Digest, America's favorite magazine. The Hallmark program was directed by Mark Sloan, with music especially composed by Jack Miller. To be doubly sure of the finest quality, always look on the back of your cards for those three identifying words, a Hallmark card. Hallmark cards are sold only in stores that have been carefully selected to give you expert and friendly service. Remember Hallmark cards when you care enough to send the very best. And now this is your Hallmark host, Cy Harris, saying goodnight to you all until next week at the same time, when our story will be Eavesdroppers in Eden, starring Susan Peters. See you then.
KMBC and KMBC FM, Kansas City, Missouri.